time for the Bible Answers program, in which we present a frank and earnest discussion of Bible truths in an endeavor to answer your Bible questions. Our subject for this program is salvation. The hope for the future of the human family is as bright as the promises of God's Word. Salvation is inseparably linked with Christianity and the teaching of the Bible. So much has been said about salvation that it seems everyone should know all about it, but I have some questions to ask. But first, may I announce that this program is from the Dawn Bible Students Association, publishers of the Dawn magazine, in cooperation with many Bible study classes, and by the friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. So now, Ed, my first question is, just what is salvation anyway?
Well, salvation, of course, means to be saved. The salvation provided through Christ means to be saved from the penalty that came upon man because of sin. And the Scriptures clearly state that the wages or penalty for sin is death. So to obtain salvation means to be saved from death.
And death is often understood to mean separation from God. But on the other hand, others understand it to mean confinement in a place of torment.
Well, Russell, the idea that death, as mentioned in the Bible, really doesn't mean death, originated with Satan in the Garden of Eden. God had said to our first parents that if they disobeyed by partaking of the forbidden fruit, they would die. But Satan denied this, saying, "Ye shall not surely die." Now, if we're to understand just what is meant by salvation, as this expression is used in the Bible, it is essential to have confidence in what the Lord said pertaining to the wages of sin, rather than in the devil's lie. Death is the penalty for sin, and death in the Bible means the same as death in the dictionary, the absence of life.
So, salvation means to be saved from death, according to that. That should be plain enough, but is it? Jesus is the Savior. That is the one who brings salvation. The Scriptures teach that He died to save sinners from death. But that was more than 19 centuries ago, yet sinners are still dying, and so are the righteous. Even those who accept Christ go into death, just as those who do not believe in Christ at all. So you see, the question is not quite as simple as it may at first seem.
Now, just for a moment, let's go back to the beginning of things in the Garden of Eden. From all the information given us in the Bible, it was God's intention in creating man that he could inhabit the earth as a human, not as a dying creature, but as a being who would never die.
And this purpose was interrupted when Adam disobeyed the Creator's laws. Is that what you mean?
Yes, but not forever, for God provided a Redeemer. The great plan of redemption set forth from cover to cover of the Bible is concerned with the restoration of that which was lost by sin.
Paradise lost, paradise restored. That is the sum total of it, isn't it?
Call it that if you wish, and it's good. The Apostle Peter, describing it as restitution or restitution, informs us that the times of restitution have been spoken by God by the mouth of His holy prophets since the world began.
Restitution does sound like a kingdom on earth. I like that word. But I remember also that Jesus said to his followers, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. It just occurs to me, Ed, that the earth as man's home was prepared for him thousands of years before Christ came at his first advent. So the place he went away to prepare must be something different than anything on the earth. So again, it isn't as simple as it may seem.
I'm glad you caught the difference. Nearly all the New Testament promises pertain to the heavenly honor. In discussing the hope of the resurrection, the Apostle Paul wrote that those who are raised from the dead will possess different degrees of glory. He explains that there is a heavenly glory for some and an earthly glory for others.
Thank you. I admit the subject is clearing in my mind. But it is still true that the believers and unbelievers are both dying. From this standpoint, it doesn't seem as though there is any salvation at all. Now, how do you explain that?
Well, as the world looks on, these followers of Christ die the same as everyone else. But God views their deaths differently. Through their faith in Christ, he sees them as having passed from death unto life and now giving up their lives in sacrifice.
Well, we can't deny that Christians are dying. But when they reach the end of their life of service, being faithful, and go into death, are they actually dead?
Yes, they fall asleep in death to await the resurrection. The Apostle Paul speaks of these and says that if there be no resurrection of the dead, then they have perished.
Now, that seems final. Could we say then that salvation is now received on the basis of faith and pertains only to those who are willing to follow in the footsteps of Jesus?
Yes, that's the way the matter is presented in the Bible.
Well, then, what about the salvation which Peter describes as restitution that you've told us about? When and how will the people receive their salvation?
Well, Russell, they will receive it by means of an awakening from the sleep of death. And it will be during the 1,000 years of Christ's reign when those who are of the spiritual resurrection will be reigning with Christ.
Does that mean that those who have not believed in this life will then be put on trial and given an opportunity for life?
That's what it means for all who have not had a favorable opportunity in this life to believe. This whole subject of blessing all the families of the earth is thoroughly discussed in the little book entitled When a Man Dies.
Thank you, Ed, and I'll go over it again. Since everyone is welcome to a copy, I would like to go to another part of our discussion at this time. In the beginning, you quoted a number of promises from the Bible pertaining to the heavenly reward for those who follow Jesus during the present age. You reminded us of Peter's use of the word restitution to describe the earthly reward of mankind in general during the next age.
And Peter also said that God's prophets had foretold the times of restitution from Samuel and all that followed after.
Right. Now, would you mind quoting some of those restitution promises for my benefit and also for the benefit of those who are listening to us?
Russell, I will enjoy doing it. In Isaiah chapter 52, verse 10, it contains a beautiful and all-comprehensive promise. It says that all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. The earthly restitution will be seen because it will be a literal, actual restoration to human health of mind and body for all who will accept it, and an awakening from the sleep of death in order that all may have the opportunity.
Well, you know that I think that is wonderful. And doesn't the prophet also say of that day that the inhabitants won't be sick anymore? I think it says, they shall not say, I am sick.
That's right indeed. Yes, and the prophets assure us that then the earth shall yield her increase, that the eyes of the blind shall be opened, that the lame man shall leap as in heart, that the elderly shall return to the days of their youth, Oh, there's so many wonderful promises outlining the earthly or material blessings which will come to the restored human race. Many of them are quoted in the little book, When a Man Dies. Will you tell our listeners about this, Russell?
I'll be very happy to do that. Friends, seldom has so much vital information concerning the subject of life, death, and the hereafter been packed into one little book. Ed has mentioned some of these points, but here are many others. What is the Bible hell? Who has the keys of hell, and how will they be used? Why did Jesus go to hell? And why did the prophet Job pray to go to hell? Now, this absorbing, interesting study includes the account of a man who dreamed that he died and found himself before the great judge of all. His experience was an interesting one, but it was only a dream. Could it have been a reality? Let us find out. Address your request to Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. I repeat the address, Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. Now remember, the name of the little book is When a Man Dies. A card or a letter will do, and if you send your request to Frank and Ernest, they will be very happy to send it to you free through the mail. There is no obligation.
Send for your free booklet today. Mail your request to Frank and Ernest, Post Office Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. To repeat, mail your request to Frank and Ernest, P.O. Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. Or call this toll-free number, 1-800-234-DAWN. That's 1-800-234-DAWN. The booklet will be sent to you free and without obligation. This program is brought to you each week by the Dawn Bible Students Association, in cooperation with local Bible study groups and by the many friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. To repeat, call toll-free the following number, 1-800-234-DAWN. That is 1-800-234-DAWN to receive without obligation the free booklet offered. Please include the call letters of this station with your request. Ask your friends to listen to our program, won't you please? And now, goodbye, and may God bless you.